You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Today, we're getting to know three of the nine candidates for Wilmington City Council. There are three open seats. Joining us now is Philip White, who says he was born and raised in Whiteville, which is less than 50 miles west of Wilmington, and he says he wants to put community back into the economy. Philip White, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you very much, Rachel.
You can ask your own question of our candidates during this live Wednesday interview. Either give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us today at coastline@whqr.org. And remember, each candidate only appears in one segment. So this is your chance for Philip White. Philip White, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do for a living?
I'm a manager for the company Mattress Firm. We have nine stores in the area. We're the largest mattress retailer in the world. I was serving as their business analyst, but I've transitioned over to a management role.
And why do you want to run for city council and serve on city council? That's a tough thing to do, as we know, with a full-time job.
Oh, it absolutely is. My desire to serve, I think, comes from about approximately 2 years ago. I got on the New Hanover County Long-Term Healthcare Board. It's something that has kind of changed my life. I saw how there was a need for leadership. I saw how there is a group of people who just, to put it essentially, just aren't being represented. And no one else was doing it, so I felt like I had to step up and take that spot.
Who is not being represented?
Well, in my opinion, I would say roughly 90 to 100,000 residents of Wilmington. It's one thing that I keep coming across, meeting with people, going to different meetings, is, in my opinion, the vast majority of Wilmington feel like our current city council has their minds made up about a certain issue, whatever it may be, prior to even holding meetings. And then the meetings are held, their opinions rarely, if ever, change. And that's just what's unacceptable in my book.
So you feel like there isn't a great deal of transparency and public dialogue around some of the issues facing Wilmington City Council?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the numbers that are outlined, when it comes to how the citizens feel that they're allowed to interact with their city council, our current city council has a rating of 29% in the 2018 budget. Their goal is to bring that up to 32%. You know, I don't know a single company or corporation that would consider a 29% customer satisfaction to be acceptable.
Tell me again what that number is.
That pertains to, it's in the 2018 budget. It's the exact breakdown is openness and I forget the exact breakdown to it. I can get it to you, though.
And how was this number? Who came up with this number? Was this an outside poll? I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Okay, yeah. The city every year, to my knowledge, goes to a group to get different numbers, different percentages. I'm not 100% certain who that group is, but it is outlined in the 2018 fiscal budget. Like I said, along with, I know, they have approximately a 42% approval when it comes to the roads. However, they have a 12% approval.
When you say approval, you're talking about job approval as in congressional rankings.
No, right? No. I'm speaking about they speak to the general populace, citizens of Wilmington.
About the issues, the mm-hmm. specific issues. I see what you're saying. And quantify the number of citizens that agree mm-hmm. with that number. Okay. How long have you been interested in local politics? You said it was sort of recent that you started to get a feeling that not everyone was represented. But when did can you pinpoint when that really started for you?
Oh, absolutely. I would say as a child. I've always had just a lifelong love of politics, not only at a federal level, because that's where we tend to see more of our grandiose stars, but even at a local level. It's, you know, in my opinion, a lot easier to make a positive change at a local level, and that's where I'd like to work.
We have an email. Robert Parr writes, sea level rise is accelerating high tide flooding in Wilmington. proposed redevelopment, or development rather, on the Cape Fear River across from Wilmington may be sited on Battleship Road, the only road into the development. Battleship Road floods with saline water 60 times each year, will flood more in the future. Battleship Road and Water Street were originally designed for a different sea level, which no longer exists. Your comments, he says.
My comments are, I mean, obviously I agree with you. I think Wilmington is in a unique position. Of course, we want to keep growing and keep developing. However, we have to ask ourselves at what cost. With our wetlands, with our river, we're literally surrounded by water on both sides. When we destroy these areas just on a whim and for profit, we have to look at what we're destroying them for in the long run. We are literally, you know, Hurricane Alley. So with constant flooding and stuff, are we causing a problem for ourselves just so that someone could put a penny in their pocket? That's something that I'm not for. I'm a big fan of maintaining green spaces, natural environments. We're one of literally the only places on the entire earth where the Venus flytrap is indigenous. Those are resources that we have to, not even for ourselves, but for our children and grandchildren, that we have to protect. In my opinion, that's not even an option.
Short-term rentals, source of tremendous controversy in the city, and the city has been doing research on hammering out a policy for at least a couple of years. Some stakeholders say stricter standards have to be applied before homes can be rented out on a short-term basis. Others say these rentals are a critical part of Wilmington's tourism industry, and they shouldn't be limited. If you're elected to city council, how would you want to see that policy get shaped?
And Rachel, you're absolutely correct. This has been a point of contention amongst different members of our community for quite some time. In my opinion, far too long. I've been very vocal about my opinion when it comes to STRs. I am a big advocate of property rights. And I'm also a big advocate of what's good for the goose is good for the gander. What I find interesting is when this whole dialogue started, there was pretty much an outright thing about banning STRs citywide. The argument was made it was horrible for affordable housing. That argument was disproved, and now the argument is being made, okay, everywhere except for the historic areas of downtown Wilmington. I know that, to give you an example, Airbnb has partnered with the NAACP to try to reach out to African Americans to bring them into the fold of STRs, because that's currently a group that is not being represented and is not able to take advantage of that situation. I'm really interested to see how that works out and to partner with both of those groups to try to develop that community. But in my opinion, we need to allow STRs with very few restrictions initially. Unless there's illicit behavior going on in someone's backyard, I don't know why we should be legislating it. I think that we should, like I said, minimally establish legislation to protect not only the property rights of the renters, but also the property rights of the people that are neighbors and that live in the community. We need to do, like I said, minimally, so that we can see where we need to tweak things so that we can move forward and go back to building a sense of community.
That's been a really tough nut to crack. And when you talk about property rights, some people would argue, I bought this house in the downtown historic district, for example, and I don't expect to see different people in and out on my neighborhood street. I bought in a residential neighborhood. I want to live in a residential neighborhood. Are those property rights too?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's something, like I said, this is going to always be a back and forth, because these people that live there absolutely have a valid argument on that side as well. But what we have to look at is not growth for just growth's sake, but what can growth offer us? I think with any business that we're bringing in, there should be a few things that we're asking them. One, are you going to be able to provide careers, not just jobs, but careers for the people of our community? And what do you have to contribute to our, you know, beautiful environment, to our city? And I think STRs offer tourists and families just an option that you can't get when you're staying in some cookie cutter hotel. You get to experience the beauty and everything that we take for granted, which is why tourists keep coming back.
We have an email. This anonymous writer says, I would like to know your opinion on the food desert in and around downtown Wilmington. Is there anything for Wilmington City Council members to do about that?
Absolutely, and thank you for the question. Wilmington has a few food deserts, sadly. One downtown, of course, and then we have another food desert off of the area of Princess. What I would like to see happen would be offering whatever it takes, tax incentives, any sort of thing like that, to local investors, not nameless corporations, but local investors to come in and establish, whether it's just a small grocery store to provide jobs for the local economy, keeping that money in our local economy, but also growing the area. Because if you look at economic studies, typically businesses grow around grocery stores, things like that. That's how you start populating an area and start developing businesses.
We have an email from Mike. He says, I live downtown. I walk my dog almost every day. Been asked for money from a homeless person every single day. In my opinion, this is devastating to the tourist industry. WECT recently did a special on flying a sign that showed some, if not most, are not actually homeless. There's a church on Market Street that feeds the underprivileged. I believe on Wednesday, on Thursday, there's trash all over the neighborhood. What are your solutions to this issue?
Once again, thank you for your question. Now, my solutions, just like so many complex issues, there's not one simple good answer to this. We need to, first of all, establish the sources of these different things. So many of our homeless, indigent, economically disadvantaged individuals, sadly, are suffering from opioid addiction, heroin addiction, and are in a rough place. If that is their particular situation, then we need to address that in a completely different way, obviously, than we would someone who, for lack of a better word, is just lazy and doesn't want to find a job and is panhandling. As far as panhandling, in those situations, I believe that those people should be ticketed. They should be, you know, held to the fullest extent of the law. But when it comes to other situations, whether it be a homeless veteran or someone that's addicted to drugs, those situations need to be handled on a case-by-case basis if we're going to actually try to improve the lives of these individuals. There is no broad-based answer that's going to solve everyone's problem.
Naveed asks, what's your opinion on the state of bike and transit infrastructure, especially in light of the recent fatalities on 17th Street?
We don't have nearly enough bike trails in the city. I'll say that just hands down. I do a fair amount of biking, and we just don't have enough. What I would suggest is, first of all, going back to that 2018 budget, the city is, and I'm going to mess up their exact terminology because I don't have it in front of me, but the goal for the city as far as transportation is to transfer the WAVE ridership from a need-based ridership to a voluntary ridership.
Choice rider.
Yes,
right.
Choice rider. There
That's
you
That's been
you.
The nut to crack. How do you do that?
Well, speaking with people that work at WAVE, the first step, not to impugn our current city council members, would be for them to actually ride on our bus system to speak to the people that have to ride there. What's going wrong? What can we do better? What resources do you need? Speaking with them, we're going to need approximately about another $2 million in revenue. Most of our buses are close to passing their prime, and we need to have approximately windows at pickups of every 15 to 20 minutes. With another influx of, we're saying, around 40,000 to 50,000 people on our congested highways, that's just not feasible. We're going to have to make that transition to a choice rider. I mean, that's going to be one of the only things that's available.
So just a minute or so left. So people can understand the lens through which you view the role of mm-hmm. city government. Describe what you think the role of a city government is. Is it doing the basics like funding infrastructure, public safety, or is it more than that?
Well, I mean, I think it's everything you just described, but more so than that, I think the role of a leader at a local level is to be not only a cheerleader for the city, to its residents, but to be a cheerleader for its citizens.
And Philip White, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. When we come back from this break, we'll meet Hollis Briggs. You can ask your own question of the candidate by calling us during the live Wednesday show at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.